Everybody should get a turn. I want to talk to you about revival. Now, before you leave tonight, if you have not received through the years from Fellowship Baptist Church one of these, I have a few left up here, about 35, and so I don't know if there'd be one per family, but first come, first serve, okay? I've passed these out at the church before, and it's heart searching for prayer, preparation, and personal revival. If you come and get one, be prepared. It'll really help you, okay? And then on this side, I think I have one for everyone here. It's called Dying to Self, and that's something that all of us hate to do, but it's something that all of us need to do. You'll never have personal revival until you die to yourself. The biggest opposition of revival is you. And the biggest opposition of me having revival is me. Now, we don't look at it that way. We like to look at it as, well, it's that guy down the street, or it's that pusher, or it's that person selling drugs on the corner, or it's that, you know, if they didn't sell alcohol at the grocery store, or, and the list could go on. But that's not why you're not having revival. You're why you're not having revival. And I'm why I'm not having revival. And so this will help you to die to yourself so that you can get prepared. And all this has scripture in it so that you can have revival. So what is revival? Are you in Acts chapter 3? I'm not. I'm getting there. What is revival? Well, you know, you ask people, what is revival? And they say, well, it's a series of meetings at my church. Well, that's a good hope, but that's not what revival is. So, well, it's this big meeting. It's this campaign where multitudes of people get saved. Well, that's not revival. That's not what revival is. That could be an outcome of revival. Right? That's evangelism. Now, evangelism is possible without revival. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. So you can have evangelism without revival, but you cannot have revival without evangelism. You get revived, and your heart's going to be knitted with Christ. Our hearts get knit with Christ when we get revived. You know what the heart of Jesus was? The souls of men. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when people get revived, they go after the lost. And so revival is not a series of meetings. I'm for meetings. I'm for them. Revival is not this big evangelistic campaign. It's not where, you know, people meet and a whole lot of people get saved. That's not necessarily revival. Revival is not someone speaking in tongues. That's not even scriptural, let alone revival. Revival is not when someone falls down on the floor or you know, convulses and does stuff that's weird or you've never seen before, possibly. But see, in people's minds, when you talk to folks, these are some of the things that come into their mind. That's revival. Boy, what is revival? Think about that in your mind just for a moment. I think in Acts chapter 3 we have a statement that we can look at a word or two, and then we'll turn over to Psalm 85. And I want to just answer the question, what is revival? And then we'll look at the source of it, and then we'll look at, well, the object of it. But what is revival? See, as I was praying about what God would have me to preach tonight, I thought about this. I thought, a lot of people are making resolutions. Now, I'm not opposed to resolutions. I'm not opposed to them. How many of you know what January, is it this? I think it's the 17th. It might be the 14th. Okay, what is it? No. No, we're not even in the same atmosphere, let alone room. No, it's Quitter's Day. Look it up. How many of you have ever heard of Quitter's Day? Raise your hand. I forgot what day it was. And so you can look it up. I think it's the 14th, 17th. It's real early in January, okay? It's early. Folks don't even make it out of January with these resolutions, you know. And again, I'm not beating you up. I'm not trying to discourage you from making resolutions. You want to make a resolution? Make a resolution. You want to make 10? Make 10. I take those kind of things kind of serious. If I'm going to get involved in something, I like to finish what I start. I can't say that I always do, but that is my goal. And so I don't want to be flippant about just starting something just because a whim. So resolutions, people start thinking about them, right? Perhaps you have. Perhaps you've been thinking, I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm going to lose some weight, you say. I'm going to eat different. I'm going to finish some tasks that I've been wanting to finish for years, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to complete that bucket list. I don't know what your resolutions may or may not be. People have different resolutions for different reasons. But I don't think really what, and I'm talking to Christians now, I'm not really sure that we need to be focused on resolutions. I think we need to get focused on revival. My greatest need is not going to be met by a resolution, in case my resolution is to have revival. Revival. You need revival. I need revival. You say, well, I don't need it. Well, that's the problem. We don't realize the need. This is what Acts chapter 3, look if you would in verse number 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You see that in Acts 3 verse 19? That word refreshing, it's a good word. It means recovery. It's a recovering. When the times of recovering, when God returns you and recovers you, and I think that's what we need. I can speak for myself, and I cannot speak for you. I need some recovery. I need some returning. And you know, revival, as we start this year, the Lord has definitely laid on my heart, I'm going to speak some on revival, and I'm going to speak some on Sunday mornings on prayer. Because I believe that these are two of the things that we love to talk about. But when it comes to practicing, we probably want to talk about it more when we do practice it. And again, I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not indicting you. I'm speaking as a whole, and I'm speaking to myself first. It's easy to talk about prayer. It's easy to tell someone, I'm praying for you. As a matter of fact, I've been guilty of telling someone that I was praying for them, and I didn't. I don't want to do that. I try. Sometimes when someone asks me to pray for them, I say, well, let's pray right now, right here. Because if I don't, it may not get done. And it's not because I don't care about you. It's not because I don't care about your prayer request. It's just because I'm human, and that's kind of what we do if we're not careful. We'll talk a lot about prayer. We'll talk a lot about revival. We'll talk a lot about religious things. We're pretty good at that now. The longer we're saved, the better we become in conversing about spiritual things. But spiritual things are not accomplished by conversing them. They're accomplished by practicing them. And so I just want to be simple with you and tell you it's time to quit talking about and requesting and defining. Yeah, at some point we just had to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I'm going to put action to my words. I'm going to do this. Now, revival is possible. There are those that would tell you, well, you know, revival is outside of the realm of possibility in our day. That is just not so. If you think that you cannot have revival, then you won't have revival for sure. I'm not saying that if you think you can, you will. I'm just saying it begins with a belief. You must believe that God can revive you. I hope that you do. I do. For your sake, I hope you believe. God can revive me. I need revival. Notice what the scripture says here, that the times of refreshing, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Someone has said, it's recovering of breath. That's what that, when you look that up, many of you have a Strong's Concordance. Go home, look the word refreshing up in the Strong's Concordance, and it means a recovery of breath. It means to revive. So someone has said this, prayer is earth kissing heaven. Revival is heaven kissing earth. In prayer, we draw near to God. In revival, God draws near to us. And that's what we need. If we've ever needed that, we need it now. I don't think I would have to spend any time trying to convince anyone here tonight or anyone watching by live stream that we need revival. Now, I may have to convince individuals that they need it. You will not have to convince me that I need it. I don't know what your need is, but I believe collectively, as the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, I'm qualified to tell you we need revival. I cannot speak for other churches. I do not speak for other churches, but I can speak for Fellowship Baptist Church. We need revival. You say, well, preacher, we're doing good. That attitude will never bring revival. But we're okay. That attitude doesn't even acknowledge that we need revival. There has to be an acknowledgement. And so I want to ask you to turn. Remember what the word recovery, before we turn here, let's look at it one more time. In verse 19, the last part of that scripture says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You've been in God's presence today? Has he been in yours? Have you communed with him? Have you spoken to him? Has he spoken to you? Has there been a fellowship with God today? Has there been a recovering? Has there been a returning? Has there been life breathed back in? If there hasn't been, well, there, that most probably is an indicator that not where we need to be. You say, well, God is with me all the time. Are you aware of that? There's a need for an awakening. You see, the slumbering need to be shaken. The sleepy need to be awakened. Revival oftentimes is referred to as an awakening, a spiritual awakening. It's as though that our churches are asleep. It's as though that we as Christians, and as Christian leaders, as pastors, that we've gotten into a lull, and there needs to be a ringing of the bell. There needs to be a call to arms. There needs to be life breathed back in. There needs to be a return. There needs to be some life. There needs to be some urgency, some awareness of the presence of God. I want you to take your Bible with me and go back to Psalm 85, the very familiar passage of Scripture. And I just want to give you a couple of thoughts out of that psalm that I hope will challenge you. Psalm 85, and of course the very familiar verse of Scripture there is in verse number 6. Revive. Look at that word there in verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? The very word means to re is a, it's a prefix. You know what it is to restart something? What do? You start it again, right? When you restart, re, it means again. Vive, it's life. Life again. Breathe some life again into it. Make us aware. Make us aware of your presence, that God is there. That there's life, there's liveliness. I thought about and I looked up, it means to declare, to restore, even to repair, return, recover, stir up. I like this one, rekindle. Kindle it again. Rekindle, revive. Put life into it again. You know, sometimes in the process of our spiritual experience, we can become kind of humdrum. And if we're not careful, we'll just kind of go through the motions. We won't even take the things of God serious. Do you think that if people, and I'm not, I'm just being real with you. Okay, I try to do that all the time. But I want you to think about this for a moment. You think our churches would be half full on a Wednesday, on a New Year's Day, if people were revived? And it's not just about church attendance. Do you think people would have gospel tracts and be witnessing to people and telling people about Jesus if they were revived? Do you think that folks would come and nod off in church or get on their cell phone or start looking and asking, you know, wonder where they got those curtains while the preacher's preaching? If they were revived? Do you think we would be honed and locked in to what God is doing? And what we need and how we need God and we would be more attached and focused on spiritual things and not making life about us, but life about God. Not about what we want, but what about God wants if we were revived, you see. And so I think revival is something, whether we realize it or not, is something that we need. And it certainly is something we should desire. Notice the desire in this psalmist's voice here. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? God, won't you do it? You know what he's saying? We need it. We need it. Right? Why would he ask for it if he didn't need it? And so I think the first thing is a realization. We need it. Have you asked God to revive you in the last 3 months? 6 months? A year? Was there any time in 2024 that you can recall where you got on your face before God and said, God, I need revival. Sweep over these slumbering streams. Fan these embers that are going out. God, breathe some life into me and my life and my spiritual experience. I'm checking boxes. I'm just going through the motions, and I don't want to do that, Lord. Not just for my sake, but God, I want to represent you better than that. Awaken me to what I'm involved in. Brethren, this is real. We're into something big. Amen. And yet, it can happen to us, can it? It can happen to us to where it just doesn't mean the same. It doesn't mean what it should. Remember when you first got saved? That's why it says revive. You got life. Listen, you can't be revived until you get reborn, right? Lost people don't get revived. Lost people need to get reborn. Is that right? Amen. That's when you get spiritual life, when you get reborn. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and then we get saved, we get born again, we get reborn. And there's an excitement, there's a newness, there's a realness, and we're just excited, and we're telling people, and we're just basking in this newfound faith, and we're handing out tracts, and we can't wait to get to church, and we're soaking it in, and we're learning, and we're growing, and yes, we're doing stupid stuff too. Remember when you was a young Christian, some of the stupid stuff you done? You say, well, preacher, I'm an older Christian. I just done some stupid stuff this morning. You too? But you know what I'm talking about. You just done some stuff. You know, where you thought your Bible reading should consist of just closing your eyes and opening up and pointing and saying, I believe God wants me to read right here. Listen, those were days of a lot of zeal, not a whole lot of knowledge, but there was life. There was excitement. There was enthusiasm. But if you're not careful now, it all becomes just a duty, a responsibility, and I'm not opposed to that. I think that we ought to look at it in that way, but not first. I think the first thing is a desire. God, I serve you because I choose to. I serve you because I love you. How could I not serve you? All that you've done and are doing for me, who you are, how could I not serve you, Lord? When I get to the place to where I look at it merely as a duty, God, forgive me. God, I need revival. God, put that desire, stir something in my heart again. Make it real to me. I don't want to just check boxes and go through the motions. Realization. I realize I need it. I think it starts there. I don't think people begin to ask until they need. Amen? Can we agree there? The psalmist is asking, wilt thou not revive us again? Why? Because we need it. And so I ask you, do you need it? And you answer that in your heart. Do I need revival? This is not about me answering to the preacher or answering to my church family, not even to my own family. This is about me as an individual answering to the God who saved me, the God who gave me life. And we'll get to that in just a moment. God, revive me. God, you revive me. I need it. I realize I need it. So the realization, revival, life, enthusiasm, excitement. Look at another word that's used there in verse number 6, that thy people may rejoice. Joy, right? Joy, excitement, enthusiasm, joy. If we're not careful, you know, you read things, and I'm not being mean here. People just say, man, I'm glad 2024 is gone. What a terrible year. Man, I can't say that. I'm nothing. But God's been good to me. I'm looking forward to what he has in store for me this year. I know some folks, you know, you take some lumps along the way, but through it all, God is good. And I don't want to get to the place where I just say, well, you know, another day, another dollar, you know. We're just kind of struggling through this little land of sorrow. No. Yes, there's tough times. Yes, there's hard days. But I don't want my mindset to be that. I want to stay focused on who God is and what God has done for me. And I want to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen. The joy of the Lord to be my strength. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evidence in my life. And I want God to display himself through me and in me. And I just want to stay on fire for God. I don't want to just die out and fade off. I don't want that to happen to where church is just, well, you know, I can take it or leave it. Where Bible reading is just something that I make myself do because I have a schedule. See, these things can happen to all of us, brethren. They can happen. But that's not the mindset when we're on fire. You've heard that phrase, right? Man, that guy's on fire. That gal's on fire for God. That means they're experiencing revival because that word means rekindle. Stir up those embers. They're on fire. want to be on fire? You're as on fire and I as on fire as I want to be. Right? Amen. So he said, wilt thou? Realization. Let's look at this for a moment. The realization. Wilt thou not revive us? And he defines the us in the next phrase, thy people. Thy people. I said the revival's not for the lost. You know, we ought to be concerned for the lost. And we will be when we are revived. If you have no burden for lost, we say, I just don't know what it is, preacher. I just don't care about people around me. I don't give out tracts. I don't witness to people. I don't hurt with people. I don't minister to people. I just don't know what it is. I do. I'm going to help you out tonight. You need revival. When you first got saved, if you are saved, you wanted to get other people saved. Amen. If you didn't, something's wrong. If you didn't get a burden for your family, if you didn't get a burden for your friends, if you didn't get a burden for others, when you got saved, brother, I would check up. But you did. And yes, I know that, listen, I know there's highs and there's lows, and I understand that, and I know we can't always be on top. I don't want to preach something that's not real. I want you to understand that what I'm telling you tonight is just, we need to check in our heart and say, be real with ourselves. Do I need revival? And if the answer to that is yes, then we need to do the next thing. That is the realization of it. I need revival. That is the acknowledging of it. God, I need some life back in me. I need some refocusing. I need some reprioritizing in my life about spiritual things. I've gotten a little distracted. And brethren, it can happen. That doesn't mean it's okay. It just means it's so. And it can happen to any of us. You can be in a good church and still need revival. You can be a pastor and still need revival. You can be saved for 50 years and still need revival. You can be saved for 50 days and need revival. And so he said, I need it. And then he said, God, I'm asking you for it. Wilt thou not do it? Aren't you glad that God allow us to come to him that way and just say, God, would you just do it for me? You say, preacher, what have I got to do? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment, but I want you to understand something now. Listen carefully. You're the object of this. I'm the object. Wilt thou not revive us? But I want to do something. I want to make it personal for you. Before you get concerned about others and before I, and it's hard. If you're a Christian that loves people, it's difficult to not think about other people. It just is. And I don't mean in a bad way. You just care about people. You want people to experience God's best for their life. Amen. Is that right? Yes. When you care about people, you want them to experience God's best for their life. But for tonight, I'm just going to ask you to set that aside just for a moment. And focus on your need. Focus on your need. And listen, when you're a giver in life, that's hard to do. Now, takers, that's not hard. But givers, it's hard. And I'm just going to ask you as a Christian in this moment for this thought to think about you right now. Do you need revival? Not does your mate need revival. Not does your child or your parent or your friend or your neighbor or the person that sits in front of you or the person that's been missing a lot that sits two seats over that you've noticed a vacant seat when church time goes. That, don't do that right now. Right now, think of you. Where are you at? Where are you at with God? You and God. And this is a personal thing. This is you and God. This is not me, you, and God. It's not you, your spouse, and God. It's not you, your friend, and God. It's you and God. Where are y'all at? Where are you and God at? Do you need God to breathe on you? You see, that's the way life comes. It's the breath of God. Remember when God formed man in Genesis chapter 2? And there he was. But he didn't have life until God breathed on him. I tell you, there's something powerful about the breath of God, brethren. This book's alive because God breathed on it. Amen. And here's a man that's saying, basically, God breathed on me. You know what happens to a fire when it gets oxygen? when it gets some wind to it? Huh? God breathed on me. Need God to breathe on you? I do. Could you imagine what God could do with our lives in 2025 if we just really took this serious and not just said, well, you know, we'll have a little emotional time and feel a little urge and then we'll go on with our life. No. I'm going to keep coming each Wednesday. And we're going to talk about this. Because I want you, because I care about you, to experience God's best for your life. But now, in total sincerity, I want to experience God's best for my life too. And I need revival. You say, preacher, you don't love God? Sure, I love God. I'm not saying you don't love God. I want to love him more. Well, preacher, you don't serve God? Sure, I serve God. You serve God. I want to serve him more. I need revival. I don't want to get satisfied. I don't want to get that way in my life. I have done that, and I don't want that. I don't want that. That's a bad place to be. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to be okay with where you are in life. Most people quit living. They quit growing when they get okay with those things. And so he said, wilt thou not revive us again? So, number one, what is revival? What is revival? Revival is life again. Right? It's a returning. It's a repairing. It's a restoring. It's a recovering of breath. It's that breath, that freshness of God, that awareness, that awakening of God in our lives. That refocusing, that reprioritizing in our lives. It's very important. Now, to some folks, that won't mean anything. Some folks will leave here tonight. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. And they're going to, business as usual. I can't. I'm just preaching what God has laid on my heart to preach. And see, I can't give you revival. I can't even give myself revival. But I can ask God to give it to me. And you can ask God to give it to you. And that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. Will you do that? Will you see the need? Will you get along with God and say, God, I want revival. Wilt thou not revive what? Us. That's the object. Not them. Be careful now. Right here. How do you get revival, preacher? Well, we need a breakthrough. I think there's some ingredients, but and I'll go through those over the weeks, but my time is up. I'll give you this, okay? I want you to notice this. There's a key word here, and it's the second word in the verse. Wilt thou. The church is not going to give you revival. The preacher can't give you revival. You can't give you revival. If God doesn't give it, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that there's no responsibility that we have. But you have to understand, revival is not worked up. It's brought down. I want to give you a challenge. Would you go home and read Isaiah 64? It's something. It's about the restoration of Israel and the kingdom. But it's a picture of God coming down and the heavens rending. It's something. Brethren, there's a place in God. Listen, there is a place in God that can be attained. There is a walk with God. And it's not fanaticism. It's not sensationalism. It's real. It's biblical. To where you can experience the fullness of God. I can experience the fullness of God's Spirit. It's not some kind of Pentecostalism. It's not some kind of charismatic. It's biblical. It's real. It doesn't mean that you'll be speaking unknown languages. It doesn't mean you'll be foaming at the mouth. It doesn't mean you'll be turning cartwheels. Well, you may. I don't know about that part. But it just means that you will have the power of God on and in your life. And there will be, life will have a different perspective. To where it's not just going through the motions. Where it's not just the same old, same old. That's just never the way God intended life to be. A spiritual life where God is leading and God is stretching and growing your faith and conquering. We're more than conquerors. So how do we get this, preacher? How do we get this revival? Well, it begins by asking. That's not where it ends. But I don't think it comes without asking, do you? You have not. Because you ask not. Ask and you shall. That your joy may be full. So, the first step. This is the first step. Realization. Do you need revival? Have you become a little lethargic spiritually? If you found yourself just not giving attention to spiritual detail, do you need a little breath from heaven? An awakening of sorts, an awareness that God is there. Realization. And then secondly, petition. Petition God. God, will you revive me? I will guarantee you this. You can stand to your feet. If you will do that, now I'm going to ask you to come, if you have not gotten one of these, now if you have one, just go home and read it. You say, well, I got it and I put it somewhere. That's what happens with a lot of these kind of things. Now, I wouldn't even hold this up if there wasn't probably 30 to 35 scriptures in here. I'm a scripture man. I'm not a pamphlet man. But this is just scripture in a pamphlet form, for it's all here for you. We need a revival of the Bible. Revival comes from the Bible. And so there's no like prescription to where some man's going to come up. No, will thou not revive us? Right? Is that right, church? It's God. And so you realize you need it. If you do, then petition him for it. Ask him. And then God's going to do this. He's going to begin to show you and me. He's already begun to show me because I've already asked him. See, I get to go through this before I come to you. And maybe you've been thinking about this. I don't know. God didn't just tell me to do this. God told me to do this for a reason. I just don't find something in the Bible to preach to you each time. I want to preach what God tells me to preach because I think it meets immediate needs. And so if you will ask God for revival, he'll begin to work in your heart and say, now this is what you need to do. You may need to humble yourself. You may need to turn from your wicked ways. You may need to pray. Right? And allow God to break up that fallow ground, that heart so that the seed of his word can go to work. You may need to go to someone and say, hey, listen, I've held a grudge against you for a long time, and I want to make this thing right with you. Or go to someone and say, I've been envious, I've been jealous. I've said some things about you because I don't like you. And it's hindering my spiritual development and growth, and I want to make that right. See, God will show you. I don't know. I know what God shows me, and I know the same God will show you. If revival was easy, we'd all be experiencing it. But the devil's going to come to you and say, well, you know, you can still hold on to that little thing and still experience it. No, you can't. The same psalmist said, if I regard iniquity, about 19 psalms before this, in Psalm 66, verse 18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so if you have known unconfessed sin in your life and you're expecting things to work out, you're believing the lie of the enemy. And I'm telling you this because I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. I'm telling you. You can't have aught with your brother. You can't have unconfessed sin in your life and God answer your prayers, brethren. Don't believe that. That's a lie. Well, just a little sin's all right, isn't it? I don't know. Is it a little arsenic? No, little sin's not all right. It has to be confessed. Well, you say, you expect me to be perfect? No, I just expect you to confess your sin, just like God expects me to. Revival. Bow your head with me. Say, well, now, preacher, I believe I need revival. I realize I need it. Okay. That's the realization. Now the petition.